Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you, feeling so much better this morning than I did on yesterday. Praise the Lord, everybody. Girl, got a good night's sleep. Finally got a good night's sleep, and I can tell the difference. Thanking God for prayer from my sister who brought me to sleep last night. Hallelujah. And I just want to say shout out to Minister Shannon who called me and we prayed together before bedtime last night. And I'm going to tell you, I had a great night's sleep. So thanking God for praying sisters. Hallelujah. And thanking God for all of you. As we say every morning, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you every day that I can. Because God, that means that God gave me another day to do the work he called me to do, which is Bible study. And so today we're going to be starting a new book. But I just want to go back over the book of John. At the time we went into John, I had my little book was in a Bible I had that was not in the house. It was another one of my Bibles that was in my car because it was with my church stuff because I had preached a sermon and I had used it for it. So I'm bringing back the little book. We're going to talk about John first, and then we're going to go over to 1 Kings, which is what we'll be starting on today in our Old Testament Friday. And today is Old Testament. We will not be in the New Testament. On Sunday, we'll do John, probably the majority of John on Sunday. And then we will be back in, I think we actually start a new book next week, also in the New Testament. Nope, we'll be in John for a little while. So let's go to John just to know what we're talking about when we talk about John. And it says this, not stated, but traditionally attributed to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's John 21:7, brother of James and son of Zebedee, Matthew 4:21. The date was around AD 90 as the last gospel written. In 10 words or less, the description of John, Jesus is God himself, the only Savior of the world. And we as men and women of God, we got to pray. We've got to pray for the Savior's return in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. I'm not talking the physical return of Christ, because when the physical return of Christ happens, you don't want to be here until after everything is established and he wakes you up. Because understanding, it's not going to be good. It's going to be some coloring and some cleaning. It's going to be some wheat and tear being pulled up. It's going to be a mess. And it's going to be a tribulation. And we don't want to be here. So, but we need him in our hearts. Because when he's in your heart, you change your attitude. You change how you walk. You change how you talk. You change how you treat others. We've got to have a change of heart. There's so much turmoil in our world. And God is not pleased because we haven't repented of the sins of our fathers. And as we get into our Old Testament words today, you will understand what I'm talking about. Because Solomon takes over the kingdom. And there's some stuff that's going on in the kingdom that needs a calling. Of some repentance. You know, you got to remove some stuff. And one of the things we have to remove is the sins of our forefathers. We got to do some repenting and give some reparations and do some things. We got to change our attitude. It's just too much hatred the bigotry going on in this world when children, babies, are slaughtered. And I'm calling it what it was, a slaughter. Those babies were slaughtered. And that teachers were brave. They gave their life. Such a woman. You know what they're doing. It's a lot to take it in. And I will admit I am a crier. And I will cry. And I will praise God. Because one thing we know, if those babies are with the Lord, except for the little children that come home to me, Jesus said, and those babies are at peace, but our planet is in turmoil. And we need to work on that. The hate you give is the hate you receive. We've got to love each other. And if we go into the details of John, this is why the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke have many similarities. They call this the Synoptic Gospel, meaning they take a common view. The book of John stands alone. The fourth gospel displays Jesus' parables. None are recorded, and miracles, only seven, are featured. Instead, John provides more extensive treatment of Jesus' reasons for coming to earth. I am come that they may have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. An arsenal, a highlightable, one of those ones that you keep in your spirit all the time. I am come. I am. We hear it all through the Old Testament. I am. Especially when you deal with Moses. I am. And Abraham, I am. Who do you think I am in? Who do you think that God in the flesh was? When the word tells us, no man has seen the face of God. So whose face were they seeing? I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. His intimate relationship with God, the Father, I and my Father are one. John 10:30. And his own feelings toward the job he has come to do. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. John 17:1-2. John also gives special emphasis to Jesus' patient treatment of the disciples, Thomas, who died at the resurrection, 20:24-29, and Peter, who had denied the Lord, 21:15-23. And some quotables for John. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. You got to know that. Highlightable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I am the bread of life. John 6:35. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. We thank God for his Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And all I got to say is, just read John 14, the whole entire chapter. There's so many highlightables in John 14 that your whole John 14 is going to be highlighted. Your whole John 14 is going to be, it's one of those books that you just need to sit down. And I'm going to try my best to sit down and read John 14, chapter 14. And try my best. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to do my best to do that. That is a goal that I have set for myself, is to memorize John 14. Unique and unusual, John's very first miracle, Jesus' very first miracle, his changing of water into wine at a wedding in Cana, is recorded only in John Gospel, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So is his raising of Lazarus from the dead, John 11, 1 through 44. His healing of a man born blind, John 9, 1 through 38. We just read that. And his long-distance healing of a nobleman's son, John 4, 46 through 54. John is also the only gospel to mention Nicodemus, who heard Jesus teaching that you must be born again, John 3, 7. And it says, so what? These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that the believing ye might have life through his name, 20 and 31. Father God, we lift up your name today. We lift up the name of Jesus this morning, Lord God, asking you, Father, to increase as we decrease, asking, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be accepted in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You are my strength and my redeemer, Father God. And I ask your increase and my decrease. Lord God, let these words permeate hearts, minds, and spirits. Lord God, change the atmosphere of this planet that we may breathe again. Clean air, drink clean water, and love each other, Lord God. For you are coming back sooner than later. And we need to get our houses in order so that you, Lord God, can come and start with us. In Jesus' name, oh God, I lift up this word of wisdom today. Let us get understanding, oh God. As we get wisdom, give us understanding. Give us discernment to see God's the surface of everything. That we will know, Lord God, the wolves from the sheep. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this word. I lift up the leaders of this planet, the leaders of our homes, our fathers, our mothers, the leaders of our churches, our pastors, oh God, the leaders of our cities, our counties, our states, our nations, oh God. I lift up leaders today, asking you, Lord, to give them understanding, discernment, and above all, give them wisdom to love their neighbors as they love themselves, but first and foremost, to love you, Lord God, with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength, that they will do what is right in your sight. To remove flesh, Lord God, and put in your spirit a right spirit within them all. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I lift up this word. I lift up every listening live or listening later, that you will bless them, Lord God, that you will give them the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, as well as wisdom and understanding to discern what is right and what is wrong. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanking God again for this day that he has made. And we're going to go over to a quick synopsis of 1 Kings as we get into it. And 1 Kings is this. The author not stated, an unknown one. Early tradition claims Jeremiah wrote 1 and 2 Kings, covering events from about 970 to 850 B.C., about 800 years or more. Probably close between 800 and 900 years before Jesus. 1 Kings was probably written sometime after the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. In 10 words or less, the description of 1 Kings, Israel divides into rival northern and southern nations. And please, it says this, details please. King David is declining health, named Solomon his son with Bathsheba's successor. After David's death, God speaks to Solomon in a dream, offering him anything he likes, and Solomon chooses wisdom. God gives Solomon great wisdom along with much power and wealth. The new king soon builds God a permanent temple in Jerusalem, and the Lord visits Solomon again to promise blessings for obedience and trouble for disobedience. Sadly, Solomon's wisdom fails him as he marries 700 women, many of them foreigners who turned his heart to idols. When Solomon dies, his son Rehoboam foolishly antagonizes the people of Israel, and 10 northern tribes form their own nation under Jeroboam, a former official of Solomon. 2 southern tribes continue under Solomon's line in a nation called Judah. Jeroboam begins badly initiating idol worship in the north. Many wicked rulers followed Judah, who also had many poor leaders. Though occasional kings, such as Asa, Jehoshaphat followed the Lord. First King introduces the prophet Elijah, who confronts the evil king Ahab and Queen Jezebel of Israel regarding the worship of the false god there. In God's power, Elijah defeats 450 false prophets in a dramatic contest on Mount Carmel. Elijah was all that in. What a major prophet. In a quotable, David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, but thou be thou strong, therefore, and shrewd, and show thyself a man. Because Solomon was young when he became king. And says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And that's 1 Kings 3:9 in the quotable from David, or about David, was chapter 2, verses 1-2, which we will be reading today, as well as chapter 3. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Chapter 18, verse 37. And the unique and unusual about 1 Kings is this. Scholars say 1 and 2 Kings were originally a single volume and was split in half to allow for copying onto normal size scrolls. So what? Solomon's example provides a strong warning. Even the most blessed can drift from God and make big mistakes. And I'm going to read that again. Even the most blessed person can drift from God and make big mistakes. Let's call it straight. All of us have drifted, and all of us have made mistakes. But God loves us anyway. So let's get into this word this morning. And it says this in 1 Kings. Now, King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore, his servant said to him, let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our lord the king, and let her stand before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, so that our lord the king may be warm. So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishai, the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king and served him, but the king did not know her. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Does that sound familiar? Sound almost like Esteron. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, why have you done so? He was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. I'm sorry, I said Absalom is who I'm talking about. And so we know now it's another brother of Absalom who is good looking and acting just like his older brother did. And all we know is what happened to his older brother? Quite dead by Joab. And it says, then he conferred with Joab. Now, Joab is the one that killed your brother. But now you conferring with Joab. Okie dokie. Let's see what's going on here. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zerah, and with Abathar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok, the priest, Benaniah, the son of Jordan, Nathan, the prophet, Shammai, Rai, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatted cattle, by the stone of Ziah, which is by eagle was God. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the mighty men, or Solomon his brother. So Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? Come, please, let me now give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go immediately to King David and say to him, did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Why then has Adonijah become king? Then while you are still talking there, the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words." So Bathsheba went into the chamber to the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, "What is your wish?" Then she said to him, "My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. So now look, Adonijah has become king, and now, my lord the king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will happen when my lord the king rests with his father that I, my son Solomon, will be counted as offenders." And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king and with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me? He shall sit on my throne, but he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army, and Abathar the priest, and look, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, long live King Adonijah. But he has not invited me your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaniah the son of Joada, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" Then David answered and said, "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence, stood before the king, and the king took him and said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, so I certainly will do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." And David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Joada." So they came before the king. The king also said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and take him down to Gihah. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be the king in my place, for I have appointed him to be the ruler over Israel and Judah." Then Benaniah the son of Joadah answered the king and said, "Amen. May the Lord God of my lord the king say so too. As the Lord has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Joadah, the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the horn. And all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him. And the people played the flute, rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar? While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abathar, the priest. And Adonijah said to him, come in, for you are a prominent man and bring good news. Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, no, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Joiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar, and this is the noise that you have heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. Then the king bowed himself on the bed. Also the king, and thus blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, while my eyes see it. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. But look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Then Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of his hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar. And he came and fell down before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. Now the days of David drew near, and he that he should die. And he charged Solomon. This is chapter 2 of 1 Kings. I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his words, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your son takes heed to their way to walk before me in truth, and all their heart, and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, come on now, this word is so rich. It is, thank you, Jesus. Moreover, you know also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner the son of Ner, and to Amasa the son of Jesse, whom he killed, and he shed the blood of war in peace time, and put the blood of war on his belt, and was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore do according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And see, you have with you Shammai, the son of Gera, a Benjamite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Ammonihah. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man, and know that you ought to do what you ought to do to him. But bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, so she said, "Do come peaceably." And he said, "Peaceably." Moreover, he said, "I have something to say to you." And she said, "Say it." Then he said, "You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel has set their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I ask one petition of you. Do not deny me." And she said, "Say it." Then he said, "Please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishai the Shunammite as wife." But Bathsheba said, "Very well, I will speak for you to the king." Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him about Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then he said, she said, "I desire one small petition for you. Do not refuse me." And the king said to her, "Ask in my mother, for I will not refuse you." So she said, "Let Abishai the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, your brother's wife." And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, "Now why do you ask Abishai the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also. For he is my older brother, for him and for Abathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zerah." Then King Solomon swore to the Lord, saying, "May God do so to me and more also if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own wife. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has confirmed me and set me on the throne of David, my father, and who has established a house for me as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today." So King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaniah, the son of Joab, and he struck him down and he died. And to Abathar the priest, the king said, "Go to Ananoth to your own field, for you are deserving of death, but I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted." So Saul removed Abathar from being priest of the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. The news came to Joab, for Joab had defected to Adonijah, though he had not defected to Absalom. So Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. And King Solomon told Joab to flee to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Joab, and said, "Go strike him down." So Benaniah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, "Thus says the king, come out." And he said, "No, but I will die here." And Benaniah brought back word to the king, saying, "Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me." Then the king said to him, "Do as he has said, and strike him down and bury him, that ye may take away from me and from the house of my father that innocent blood which Joab shed. So the Lord will return his blood to his head, because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he, and killed them with the sword. Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of the army of Israel, Amasa, the son of Jether, the commander of the army of Judah, though my father David did not know it, their blood still therefore returned upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his descendants forever. But upon David and his descendants, upon David's house and his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord." So Benaniah, the son of Joab, went up and struck and killed him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. The king put Benaniah, the son of Joab, in his place over the army, and the king put Zadok the priest in the place of Abathar. Then the king went and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere. But it shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook of Kedron, know that for certain you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head." And Shimei said to the king, "The same is good as my lord the king has said, so your servant will do." But Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Now it happened at the end of 3 years that two slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Micaiah, king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, "Look, your favor in that. So tomorrow, Saturday, Donkey, and went to Ashes at Esgath to seek his slaves, and Shammai went and brought his slaves from Gath. And Solomon was told that Shammai had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had come back. Then the king sent and called for Shammai and said to him, did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day you go out and travel anywhere, you shall surely die. And you said to me, the word I have said is good. Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I gave you? The king said, moreover to Shammai, you know as your heart acknowledged all the wickedness that you did to my father David. Therefore the Lord will return your wickedness on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Joadiah, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Whew, don't play. Everything he said he would do, he did it. And as we go back over a couple of life lessons, about, I think there's three of them. The first is from 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 51. Indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, but look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar. And it says there is a big difference between regretting the consequences of sin and repenting of it. Adonijah feared the possible consequences of his actions, but never repented of them. And eventually, that would cost him everything. By exalting ourselves, we can, for a time, obtain the fame or position or notoriety we seek. But wherever we acquire outside of God, we are turned to ashes. Better hear it. You know, folks, seeking things, seeking all these things to the point of selling their soul, don't understand, it's going to turn to naught. All the riches in the world means nothing if you lose your soul. 1 Kings 2 and 9, you are a wise man and know what you ought to do. Even at the beginning of his reign, Solomon was considered a wise man, yet God is able to multiply even what we have so that we can better serve him and bless his people. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 15, you know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me. Adonijah revealed a heart still bent on evil when he connected his failed attempt to become king with his request to marry King David's concubine. God can never bless unrepentant sin. No one ultimately gets away with any single act. As Paul writes, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those are some men follow later, 1 Timothy 5 and 24. And as we continue in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places, because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in the uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours, the Lord? But Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. To understand and discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor. So then, Lord, what a word. So that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. That is a highlightable because it gives you an understanding of the blessings that God offered Solomon. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offering up burnt offerings, offering peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now two women, who were harlots, came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh, my king, give her the living child, but by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Chapter 4 of 1 Kings. So King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were his officials: Azariah, the son of Zadok, the priest; Eliel, Horath, and Azai, the sons of Shishai, scribe; Jehoshaphat, the son of Elihu, the recorder; Benaniah, the son of Joadiah, over the army; Zadok and Abathar, the priest; Azariah, the son of Nathan, over the officers; Jabir, the son of Nathan, a priest and the king's friend; Ahasha, over the household; and Adon Riam, the son of Abda, over the labor force. And Solomon had 12 governors over all Israel who provided food for the king and his household. Each one made provisions for 1 month of the year. These are their names: Ben-Hur in the mountains of Ephraim, Ben-Dekar in Mekez, Shabim, Beth-Shemesh, and Elam, Beth-Anan, Beth-Hissi, and Araboth. To him belonged Sokesh, and all the land of Hepha. Then Abinadab, and all the regions of Dor, he and Tephath, the daughter of Solomon, as wife. Benaiah, the son of Eliud, and Tekmet, Megiddo, and all Bethshean, which is beside Zarethan, below Jezreel, from Beth Shean, and Abel Mahalah, as far as the great city of Jekinah. Then Gibeah, the Ramoth Gilead, to him belonged the towns of Jar and the son of Manasseh, and Gilead. To him also belonged the region of Argob and Bashan, 60 large cities with walls and bronze gate bars. Ahinadab, the son of Edo, and Menahem, also Ahimaaz, as in Naphtali. He also took Bethmeth, the daughter of Solomon, his wife. Then another son of Hoshaiah, an Asher, and a Lot. Jehoshaphat, the son of Perua, in Issachar. Shimei, the son of Elam, in Benjamin. Geber, the son of Uriah, in the land of Gilead, in the country of Shihon, king of the Amorites, and Or, king of Bashan. He was the only governor which was in the land. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea, in multitude, in eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over the kingdom from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. But he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Chephish even to Gezer, namely, over all the kings on the side of the river, and he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine, and his fig tree from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen, and these governors, each man in his own month, provided food for the king, for King Solomon, and for all who came to King Solomon's table. There was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw to the proper place for the horses and seeds, each man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore, that Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all the men, than even the Ezraites, Heman, Shakur, Darda, and the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Chapter 5 of 1 Kings. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to him, saying, "You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. But behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, your son, whom I will set on your throne, in your place, he shall build a house for my name. Now therefore command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay you wages for your servants according to whatever you say, But you know there is none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sudanese. So it was when Hamah heard the word of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people. Then Ham sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the message which you sent me, and I will do all you desire concerning the cedar and cypress logs. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart. There then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by getting food from my household. Then Ham gave Solomon cedar and cypress logs according to all his desire. Solomon gave Ham 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20 cores of pressed oil. Thus Solomon gave to Ham year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him, and there was peace between Ham and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together. Then King Solomon raised up a labor force and out of all Israel, and the labor force was 30,000 men, and he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They were 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the labor force. Solomon and 70,000 who carried burdens and 80,000 who quarried stones in the mountains. Besides 3,000, there were 300 from the chief of Solomon's deputies who supervised the people who labored in the work. And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, and hone stones to lay the foundation of the temple. So Solomon's builders, Hiram builders, and the Geberites quarried them, and they prepared timber and stones to build the temple. Chapter 6 of 1 Kings. And it came to pass in the 408th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Zeb, that is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, in width 20, and its height 30 cubits. The vestibule in front of the sanctuary of the house was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the width of the vestibule extended 10 cubits from the front of the house. And he made for the house windows with leveled beveled frames. Against the wall of the temple, he built chambers all around, against the walls of the temple, all around the sanctuary and the inner sanctuary. Thus, he made side chambers all around it. The Lord's chamber was 5 cubits wide, the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide. For he made row ledges around the outside of the temple so that the support beams would not be fastened into the walls of the temple. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. The doorway for the middle story was in the right side of the temple. They went up by the stairs to the middle story and from the middle to the third. So he built the temple and finished it, and he paneled the temple with beams and boards of cedar, and he built side chambers against the entire temple, each 5 cubits high, and they were attached to the temple with cedar beams. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the temple and finished it, and he built the inside walls of the temple with cedar boards, with the floor in the temple. Then he built a 20-cubit room at the rear of the temple from floor to ceiling with cedar boards. He built it inside as the inner sanctuary, as the most high place. And in front of it, the temple sanctuary was 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with ornamental birds and open flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone to be seen. And he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the of the covenant of the Lord. There, the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold and overlaid the altar of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the temple with pure gold. He stretched gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. The whole temple he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the temple. Also, he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was by the inner sanctuary. Inside the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubims of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. One wing of the cherub was 5 cubits and the other wing of the cherub 5 cubits. 10 cubits from the tip to one wing and the tip of the other. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both cherubims were at the same size and shape. The height of one cherubim was 10 cubits and was the other cherubim. Then he set the cherubim inside the inner room and they stretched out over the wing of the cherubim so that the wing of the other touched the wall and the wing of the other touched the other wall. And their wings touched each other in the middle of the room. Also, he overlaid the cherubim with gold. Then he caused out all the walls of the temple around both the inner and outer sanctuaries and overlaid them with gold. Then the entrance of the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood and lintel and door posts with one-fifth of the wall. Going down to verse 34, and the two doors were of cypress wood. Two panels compromised one folding door, and two panels compromised the other folding door. Then he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers on them and overlaid them with gold. And he built the inner court with three rows of hornstone and a row of cedar beams. In the fourth year of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid in the month of Zeb, and in the 11th year in the month of Bul, which is the 11th month, 8th month, the house was finished and all its details according to all its plans. So it was 7 years in building it. And that is our word for this morning. And before we get out of here today, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and our prayer for the day. And I can only say it has been a great word this morning. With wisdom comes understanding. Solomon understood what was required of him, and that was it. And I don't have a word for my sister in Christ yet this morning. So we will go back and hit a couple of life lessons from this word today. And it says, you are a wise man and know what you ought to do. Even at the beginning, we talked about that already. Let's go to chapter. Solomon loved the Lord, chapter 3, verse 3. Walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense on high places. At the beginning, Solomon loved the Lord and obeyed his commandments. But note the one word that led to his downfall, except. The Lord wants wholehearted commitment to him, not partial devotion. And that's just something to think about. And we just need to keep God first in everything. On Sunday, I will go back over some of the life lessons and what the Bible said from 1 Kings. And I will give a prayer from our prayer book on Sunday. But I just say today, keep God first and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, as we go through Memorial Day, what we are memorializing, what we're talking about, keep God first and thank him for the sacrifice of those that have gone before us. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Have a good weekend. Join us on Sunday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward through the Word of God. And remember, as you go through this weekend, with wisdom comes understanding. Be blessed. It is a wrap.